And it's good to be together. We're in the shade just at the moment. If I talk too long, I'll be frying. So there's a good reason to get done quickly today. Let's pray as we start. Is it good to be in God's presence? We've had a beautiful time here worshiping and declaring the praise of God. You at home have had the links to play, and hopefully you've spent a half hour or so playing through those and listening to the Lord, worshiping Him. Now we want to spend some time to listen to Him, what He has to say to each one of us this morning. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your presence amongst us. Lord, we thank You that You come to the front lawn of WCC and meet with us here. We thank You that You come to the front rooms of every house and meet with them there. But wherever we are, Lord, Your presence is with us. And we thank You and we bless You for that. And Lord, this morning I pray that as we meditate on Your word and as we think about You, I pray this morning, God, that You would speak to us. Father, speak over my words. Make Your voice loud and clear for everyone, that we all may be assured that today we have heard the voice of the Lord. And we're encouraged and built up and strengthened because we spent this time in Your presence. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, Judith and I had a little bit of a holiday this week. I'm afraid that there's no aeroplane stories or airport stories, but we're not really doing that right now. But I've got a bit of a holiday story. We were planning to just go and spend a few days somewhere in southern Ontario. This last week was our anniversary week. We always like to just take a few days somewhere and be together and celebrate. And it turned out that our son, Andrew, and his new wife, Christine, got married back in May, were moving to their new apartment. They've just rented somewhere in Markham, and they told us that last Friday, Saturday, was the drive-down day and the move-in day. And I said, well, actually, we're planning to head that way, so if you want any help, you just ask. Well, of course, help is always wanted when you're moving. Bob, where were you? A couple of times we suggested that Bob could have been there just helping. Thankfully, they're newlyweds, so they only have one level of boxes in the van. They had a U-Haul van. Interestingly enough, with the U-Haul van, because they wanted a one-way, they didn't want to have to drive it back again and get back down to Markham. And the best deal for a one-way truck was a 26-foot truck, which are pretty big beasts. In fact, I think they were paying them almost to take it down to Markham, rather than having a two-way or a little cube van. He was also planning to tow his car on a trailer on the back of the truck. So we had a 26-foot truck and a trailer with a car on the back, and Judith and I followed all the way. That was a time of prayer. But it was good. You know, Andrew driving and us following, we had total trust in that trailer hitch. We believed that it would not come apart and that it would do the job, and it got them there. And it did. It did a good job. Then, of course, when we got there, a few new friends, some guys came over to help lift up. They're in a what they call a townhouse. It's the top two floors of a four-floor building. So the first two floors of one house, the top two is another house. And, of course, they have the top one with lots of stairs. And why is it that architects and builders never think about moving in and out when they build stairs. You know, it was a complete 180, and only about four feet wide going up the stairs. So we had quite a challenge. A couple of things nearly didn't make it, but we can patch the wall later. And of course, when you have two or three guys around a heavy piece of furniture working around the corner on a stairway, there's total trust in the ability and the strength of the people down below pushing up. Who do you trust? One more story. We're week three, just about to do week four of the Alpha series, and it's been a great time. The amazing thing of doing it online is before it started, we didn't really know any of the people doing it. There's some from Saskatchewan, there's some one person from Winnipeg, in Manitoba, wherever that is, Toronto, Ottawa. So it's really interesting. But the first week we were setting up, trying to do it online, it's a bit like Sunday mornings, trying to get live and Zoom all working together. It's always a little bit of a challenge to make sure it works. I'm hoping it's working now because I've no idea if it is. We got people here laughing, so that's good. people waving thumbs up. I'm good. All right. Now, the first week of Alpha, we were trying to get it set up. Judith was getting her laptop set up, ready to do the hosting and then leading a group. And I was getting set up in another room to do the technical stuff and just switching over. And Jamie was going to do the video from another location. And about 10 minutes before the first meeting, which is a prayer time before it starts, Judith's computer shut down. You know, we had a problem. And we didn't know what to do. You know, how do we scramble through this? It's about to start. It's really important. And I had the thought that came to me, and of course, clearly we were praying, and the prayer team behind it were praying. We knew that because we sent messages saying, please pray, the technology is not working. And I had this thought, who do I trust? You know, Bill Gates, Graham Brum, or Jesus Christ? I'm not, exact answer was at the time, I was kind of thinking about everything, but I believe, and I hope it was the third one. But certainly Jesus was the one that answered our prayers because just in time for starting, it all came back and everything worked. And we've seen that a few times over Alpha. There's a real warfare when you're doing the Alpha course because people are hearing about Jesus, perhaps for the first time. They're being challenged to change their lives, perhaps for the first time. And our enemy, Satan, does not like that. And I know there's something about technology and the devil. If he gets in, that's one of the places that he just wheedles his way in and shuts things down. You know, sound systems do it. And anyone that's led worship understands the challenges of technology when we're trying to worship and declare the Lord. So anyway, this morning, you might have guessed, I want to talk about trust. Trust is a very interesting and a very big topic. The definition of trust from the dictionary is a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. A firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. You know, think about it, everything we do is based on trust. We trust in something most of the time. Life would be pretty hopeless and helpless if we had no trust whatsoever. And sadly, there are people like that. You know, when we pray for them and direct them to the Lord because He is their only hope. But most of us have some form of trust. It's just in what is that trust? It is a very big topic. I mean, it's kind of three areas. Normally when we consider trust, we're talking about walking confidently in what you believe God has told you to do. You know, God has said, I want you to do this, and we trust him, and we walk confidently in it, and we see it happen. And there's a good example of that in Acts chapter 16, where Paul has the word from the Lord that they must go to Macedonia. And he confidently walks into that. He trusts the message, he trusts what the Spirit's told them, and they do it. Another aspect is walking with confidence when you have no idea what God is really doing. You trust that whatever's happening is him. The third one is understanding, is believing God will restore things when we are in a difficult place. Recently for us, Judith and myself, the story of Daniel and his three chums keeps coming up in various ways, through reading the scriptures, through songs, and through other people speaking. And every so often it's, hey, that's Daniel. It's the story of Daniel, especially around the fiery furnace. Now, if ever there's a story of trust when things aren't going too well, it's there. You know, and you all know the story. Everyone was told they had to bow down and worship Nebuchadnezzar, and no other god was allowed. And Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego said, no way. We only have one God. We're only going to worship one God. And then we get to Daniel 3:20. We go through, they throw them in the fire, they ramp up the temperature, they throw them in the furnace. Nothing happens to them. Nebuchadnezzar sees a fourth person walking around in there, and they say, okay, get them out. And they come out and they're not even smelling charred. There is nothing happened to them. They were kept through that fiery furnace. And then we get to Daniel 3, verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than worship, rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. So here's the king that was saying, I'm the greatest, this is what's going to happen. And afterwards he's saying, wow, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. These guys trusted their God despite the worst thing I could do to them. And they saw their lives preserved. This teaches us we can trust God, especially if we worship him alone. You know, if we continually worship the Lord and make him our priority, then our trust can be founded in him. There is no question. Anyway, today I want to focus on that second application, trusting God when we don't fully recognize his plan. Well, that seems to be happening a lot of the time. We're walking through things, but we don't really know what's happening. But we trust God. And first, let's look at it as individuals, you know, you and me as individual people. And then secondly, as WCC as a whole. Continually, I see God works things out continually. I don't know what's going to happen. I believe God. I have that trust in him. And I think, I have no idea what it's going to look like. But by the end of whatever the thing was, I think, wow, only God could have done it like that. There was no other way. You know, I couldn't have planned it, but I trusted his plan without really knowing what it was. Having confidence in God to work all things to the good for those who love him. So, continually in my life, I could go back and tell you stories for, you know, a few years. Right back to the beginning when I was a young teenager and the Lord was directing my path into a career and so forth. You know, things happen in my life And I'm sure each of you can say the same. Things happened in my life where I had no idea that that was the plan. But when I got there, went through it and got to the end, I thought, that was the best plan ever. And I can trust God. And over the years, you know, when you get to, I wear this so you don't see underneath, you know, when you get to as old as I am, you've got many examples of when you've been able to trust God without really knowing what he's doing. Through all of that, I see that God, that Father, is interested in my daily life. We think, well, it's a big job to keep creation working. It's a big job to sustain the universe. It's tough to be infinite. He hasn't got time for me. But let me tell you, he does have time. He has time. He surely has time for you. Wherever you are, be assured that time for you. Trust in that. Take confidence in that. And that he is directing your paths. Now, Romans 8:28, well-known scripture. Many can quote it, I'm sure. This way we can trust him. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his designed purpose. That's in the Passion Translation. Are you convinced that every detail of your life is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan? I don't know what God's perfect plan is for me. I don't know what God's perfect plan is for you. Sometimes he reveals things. Sometimes he tells us specifically. Sometimes prophetic messages encourage us and direct us. But a lot of the time, I don't really know what God's perfect plan is. But I walk day by day in this, trusting him. Trusting Father. And it's been my experience, but that's a good place to put my trust. Another scripture from the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 16, 1 to 13. And again, it's a well-known story. Samuel has to go and pick the next king from the sons of Jesse. And we all know that story, perhaps. But it's a great story of how someone had to do something for the Lord without knowing what was to happen. Yeah, wouldn't it have been easier to say to Samuel, I want you to go and anoint David? But God didn't say that to him. I would have done it that way because it had settled that grief of picking all the wrong ones first. But no, God said, trust me. And Samuel even said, well, wait a minute, I might get killed. We're not really best of buddies at the moment. God said, trust me. Go and sacrifice together. So worship the Lord first, but trust him. And then they said, okay, bring me your sons because I have to select one who the Lord has called. And the first guy comes in, big, handsome, strapping chap. And Samuel thinks, that's him. He's perfect. And the Lord says, Why do you think it's him? You're looking on the outward. I'm looking on the inward. I want to know the heart of this person. Oh, okay. Next. No, not him. Next. No, not him. And they worked their way down and still the Lord said no. And they thought, is that it? Well, there's one more. He's out looking after the sheep. Okay, go get him. And David came in and the Lord said, it's him. Samuel had to trust the Lord, listen and walk step by step to get the Lord's will done. What if Samuel had insisted that the first choice was the one? the story of the Israelites in the Old Testament, and the book of Psalms would have been quite different. But because Samuel walked in trust and listening to the Lord, we eventually had David selected. And look what, but David wasn't perfect, we know that. But he was a man after God's own heart. He was one who worshipped the Lord. He was one that wrote many worship songs. So you always trust something. You have to decide. And then you have to train your thinking of how to trust. Psalm 20. I'm going to read verses 1 to 9 in Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the king. Answer when we call. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. You know, often our trust is in man's way, in man's strength, in the chariots and the horses, the strength of man. But David's saying there, I trust in God. And that's our trust. So we have to choose and we have to train our minds to know, do I trust in horses and chariots, or do I trust in God? Because you will trust in something. Choose today how you will respond when you need to trust. Have a plan in your mind so that when you are challenged of a place for trust, you will always say, well, I will trust in the Lord. I have no idea what he's doing. I don't know what his plan is, but I know he's doing it for me and for my goodness, and I trust that. And you will see. And in that trust, declare his worship, even as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did in the furnace. So live your lives trusting the Lord. He will work it out. Just want to take a few minutes also to talk about us as WCC. You know, as a church, as a congregation, there's trust at the same time. You know? We come together, we make a body, we're a unity in the Lord as we come together. Each of us coming with our own, you know, trust levels, our own faith levels, our own baggage, our own fears and hopes, and whatever we bring, we come and we make what God has called West Ottawa Community Church. And we believe that this church is here for a purpose and for a reason. And in the same way as what we've been saying about ourselves, we don't necessarily know the exact plan that God has. What I can tell you is he sustained this church for nearly 50 years. And well, some have been around since the beginning, Ken and Lois, some others sitting here. So he has a plan, and the leadership of this church trust God's plan. We don't want to work out what he's trying to do. We don't want to have a step-by-step process to follow. We want trust in our Heavenly Father. We've often talked about this church, and prophetically, especially Mark Brisbois has spoken to us about being a gate church. And you know, that's conceptual in many ways rather than a specific definition. It really means it's a place where the atmosphere of heaven can come, the presence of the Lord can come because of the trust, the worship, the prophetic, the prayer, the belief in the people that make up this congregation. As I was thinking about it recently, when Mark was talking to us a few weeks ago, early summer, John 10:2-4 stood out for me. And it says to us, the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Now, if you want one definition of a gate church or the way we function here, you know, that's a great way of looking at it. There is a gatekeeper. His name is Jesus. Now, this is taken in many contexts and is often used to talk about people coming into the kingdom, but it can also be taught in this context. You know, Jesus opens the gate. He is the gate. He is the way. We know that. And he's the gatekeeper. So as we worship him, the gate is opened for the shepherd to come in. Because we know the shepherd, the gatekeeper, we listen to his voice. And it's in listening to his voice, we then learn to trust him and walk in the way that he has set before us. Following what he says, knowing his voice, are really important part of trusting God in this church. And we don't believe here that only one person can hear the voice of God. We believe all the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. That's everyone gathered here or on Zoom, those that aren't here amongst us at the moment because they're elsewhere. We can all hear the shepherd's voice because we're all the sheep. We all belong to him. And as we hear his voice, we share it, we follow him, and we walk into the things that he has for us. We trust him. So as a gate church, we provide a way for the shepherd to enter. And that's done different ways. I just listed many off, you know, through our worship, through our prayer, through our prophetic, through our Bible understanding and proclamation. These are ways that open up. You know, the concept of the gate church comes from Genesis, I think it's 31, where Jacob has the dream of the ladder and they're coming and going from heaven to earth, and the gate is open. You know, so as we worship the king, as we worship the Lord, the gate opens and the shepherd opens the gate and the shepherd comes in. We hear his voice. We are led by him and we follow. Excuse me. Just a few more scripture on trust to wrap us up here this morning. Now, if you want to know about trust, just do a search in the scriptures on the word trust. There is so much there and so many great verses. I was really surprised how many Psalms actually have the word trust. You know, David was a man of trust. The other psalmists were men of trust. But there's scriptures all throughout. Psalm 139, for example, is a good place to start. You know when I sit and when I rise. So we're talking to God. He knows everything. He knows about us. He knows who we are, when we're sitting, when we're rising. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is even on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And he continues on. But there's a trust there. You know, we don't understand. The psalmist doesn't understand everything. He just knows that God is everything in his life. And the trust that he has in God there is he can't go anywhere without the presence of God. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. That would be a great verse if it stopped there, wouldn't it? You know, but there's more. It goes on. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the key action there is trust in him. As we trust in him, a few things happen. The God of hope will fill us with joy and peace. So when we've truly got our trust in Father, in the Lord, we sense that joy and we sense that peace. We don't know about the unknown. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what his perfect plan is, but I trust him and I'm living in joy and peace. So that we may overflow with hope. Hope is a great word. And how do we overflow by hope? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes into our lives and his power builds up the hope as we trust the Lord. Trust is key to so much that we can see in that verse. And our trust in him will provide that place from which we can live. It's a dynamic relationship between trust and power. Trust and power. Proverbs 3:5, one of my favorite. Again, I'm sure you all know it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I like reading the rest of it. It goes on. There's some great verses and some great thoughts there and directions for living your life. You know, so take time to read around that and on and how to offer your life to him. But trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your understanding. It says two trusts again. Do I trust in God or do I trust in my understanding? Don't try and understand everything. I do. It's my problem. Yeah. If I can't work it out, I get frustrated. But sometimes the Lord says, trust me. And when I do, you know what? It's good. Because he knew better. And he has a great plan for my life. Psalm 46, 2-4. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. Not a good place to be. When I'm afraid, I'm sure he will, if you're being attacked by your enemy. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? So even in those difficult times, praise God, put your trust in him, and we get that peace, that sense, God is in control. What can mere mortals do to me? Well, sadly, they can do a lot of horrible things, and we've seen that. You know, persecution is the word we put around most of that. But what they can't do is take away my salvation. They can't take away my family position in the house of God. They can't take away what Jesus has done for me. And over this year, we've talked quite a bit about gifts and using the gifts that God gives us as his church and as individuals. We trust God in our gifts. And we can talk about all the gifts here, but let's just pick one in specifically because it comes out in Romans 8, where we were just a few minutes ago. When we pray in the Spirit, I'm trusting God because I know he's in control and he has a plan. I'm trusting God, but I don't really know where I'm going. So how do I pray? Now, I've got to be careful. If I'm praying for something I don't understand yet, I can pray incorrectly. I can ask the Lord to do something that he wasn't planning to do. Now, what does he do with that? Does he answer my prayer? And I have to go on a long detour to learn about faith and trust. Or does he not answer my prayer and I get frustrated? How's my prayer? You know, so be careful when you're praying and you don't know where you're going. But there are such prayers as manipulative prayers. We can pray that we shouldn't be praying, that manipulates the spiritual realm. So we do have to be careful when we're praying. But in Romans 8:26, when I don't know how to pray, there's a great assurance there. And I love it because I rely on it often. And it says, in the same way as all the things he's just been talking about, which is really fascinating, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Hey, that's me. Finally, someone who's weak. We do not know what to pray. Yeah, that's right. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Sorry, wordless, not wordless. Hopefully wordless too. Wordless, no words. Wordless groans. And he searches our hearts. He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. That's the prayer I need, where I don't really know where I'm going and I'm trusting the Lord. Someone who can pray the will of God, the direction God is leading me. And that's done through the prayer of the Spirit, sometimes in tongues, sometimes in groans too deep that don't even have words. You know, we're all encouraged to pray in the Spirit. We're all encouraged to pray with the heavenly language that God has given us. We're all prayed to groan before the Lord, asking him for direction. And in that place, we've been assured in this scripture that he who searches our hearts, so I don't know what words, my mind has no understanding, but my heart has the Spirit. So he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, and the two come together in accordance with the will of God. I find that so encouraging to be able to pray when I don't really know. I'm totally trusting the Lord and I pray. The question though here is, do you, I think the Marines are coming. I don't know if the Zoomers can hear the helicopters. Oh, they got me. No, moving on. When you're praying in wordless groans, praying in another language, do you really believe you're praying the will of God? There's a trust element even in that. We trust that what God has given us, sometimes it might sound like gibberish. Sometimes it's another language and someone understands it was for them. Sometimes it is those deep groans. But whatever it is, when we're praying in the Spirit, do I trust that the Spirit is truly interceding through me? I hope we do, because that's the only value in that type of praying. So I want to close with prayer. As we continue, you know, in the weeks ahead, the months ahead, who knows what's going to happen? You could be out there now with your anoraks and toques, sorels and a blanket. It could be snowing and blowing a blizzard, and we're still enjoying outdoor church. Well, those on Zoom can't hear the rebels. Who knows what's going to happen over the next month or two? But we trust God. And the leadership are listening. You are listening as the shepherd comes in the gate. Let's hear his voice. Let's trust him, and let's walk ahead in his plan. I totally trust God. There's been times over the years I thought, that's wrong. We mustn't do it. This is what we got to do. Chuck, you're doing it wrong. You know, we've got to do this. And then I give it up to the Lord or go through something. I think, actually, I was wrong. That was the right thing to do. We trust the Lord. We have to trust the Lord. It's a place to be. So let's pray. As we pray, confess to the Father, if you wish, that you haven't always trusted him. Or declare to him that you will put your trust in him. Just take a few moments in quiet as you think about trusting Father God. Allow him to speak to you. Bring to your remembrance right now things that you need to say sorry that you didn't trust him. Or your desire to trust him fully and more completely. Father, we thank you that we can trust you fully and completely. There is no other person in whom we should put our trust. Forgive us, Lord, when our trust is in man, in chariots and horses. Father, today we declare that our trust will be in the Lord. And Lord, I pray for everyone gathered today in this church time, in the presence of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord God, that you will give us the confidence and the ability to walk forward in the plans that you have for us, those perfect and you know, the plans that you have in your heart and you have prepared from the beginning of time. Lord, we trust you in that. For you alone are worthy. You alone are good. And we worship you, Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.